Om Shanti, and warm welcome to our next session, which is Serving with Presence with Sister Maureen, interviewed by Sister Antonella. Sister Maureen has been Baba's Light and Might House since 76, and she is a program director in the UK, and also BK representative at the UN, Vienna. And also, she is regular speaker at COP. Yes. Regular speaker at COP, the annual UN Climate Change Summit, where she is bringing very, very important message that faith and consciousness are powerful allies in the climate change. And she is also very much into interfaith, so she is the representative on the board of religious leaders of the Elijah Interfaith Institute and the Peace Pledge to Live Loving Kindness and Compassion. And Sister Antonella, she is from Italy, based in Bologna, and she is a senior yogi and part of the NC team. So warm welcome. Over to you. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti. It's a great pleasure to interview Sister Maureen and to be with all of you. And when I heard the topic, I remember an experience I had many, many years ago in Global Cooperation House when there was a meditation going on and we were a few on the stage, and eventually somebody entered the hall, and the entrance was in the dark and the ceiling a bit lower, and so I couldn't see who was coming in. But the feeling of a powerful presence, so tangible, that could change the atmosphere of the hall. And while the figure was walking forward towards the stage, she was Daddy Junkie. So I remember that, and out of that, the first question to Maureen Ben. You spent many years with Daddy Junkie, and witness how deeply she served through her presence. So could you share a situation that you can remember where she revealed that quality and being such a presence that could change the atmosphere?
Thank you. Om Shanti, and good morning to everyone. And yes, very nice to be here with all of you. And to be with Antonella, thank you. Yes, this was Daddy's power, really, the power of presence, because she made Baba present with her. And you're absolutely right that when we talk about presence, you can't separate it from atmosphere. Because if somebody has a powerful presence, that's absolutely the atmosphere that they create. And a couple of things, one with the BKs, the other in a public space. Just a small group of us were with Daddy, and we were at the Global Retreat Center, and we started with a few minutes of yoga before the program, or the meeting actually with Daddy. And she asked us all, "Did you invoke Baba?" We sort of said, "Yes, no." Then she said, "Did you invoke Baba like I invoked Baba?" And then she took us into silence again. And it was completely different. So the atmosphere was just so powerful. But the other scene I remember so clearly, it was a conference in London called Be the Change, based on the Gandhian philosophy. And Daddy was asked to be a speaker there. And before the program, I'd been part of meetings, you know, and one of the people in the meeting knew that Daddy can tend to talk over time. And those days she did talk a lot. And so he was a bit concerned about it. And in fact, I felt a bit miffed about it in the meeting. I thought, well, do you want Daddy or not? You know, she's not asking for your platform. Anyway, Daddy did come and speak. And Daddy got on the stage. And then the first thing she talks about is how she used to go to Gandhi's prayer meetings as a child. And I thought, you know, she's the only person in the room. There was over 1,000 people. She would be the only person in the room who'd actually met Gandhi. Wow. And anyway, then Daddy spoke. And there was somebody who came out with a, you know, a little plaque saying 5 minutes, 1 minute, 2 minute. And Daddy was speaking. And the person wanted to come out. And the organizer stopped them. No, that'll carry on. I think she went over by about 10 minutes, not too much. And then she held this silence. It was incredible, incredible. The place was like people were in tears, people, you know, the place, pin drop silence. And she just, those days, she was much fitter, of course, and she just stood on the stage for many minutes, holding that silence. And, you know, that touched people so, so deeply. The words were fantastic, but that silence. And when she came away, I said, Daddy, I said to Gentleman, what's the Hindi for stunning? I said, Daddy, that was stunning. She's like, okay, you know, she's never took on praise, but I've seen many situations like that, but that sticks out in my mind hugely. Just standing there, and that presence did everything. And then, of course, the interesting thing is that, you know, you go into Daddy's presence, and I'm sure many of you have experienced this. You know, you may have a list of questions, and then, or something you're concerned about. And then you go in front of Daddy and it all flies out of your head. So then I took to writing things down. But yes, she had a huge power of presence. Yes.
Actually, you remember, you make me remember that the only program Daddy did in Bologna,
right,
in a theater, and there were about 300 people, and they were all very touched by Daddy. And eventually she stopped coming down the stage and she stood in silence. And from people smiling, being appreciative, they all started crying. It was amazing, 300 people all in tears because she was such a delivering of silence. It was just amazing.
And love.
Yeah.
You know, when she's in that state, Baba's love shines through. And this is the kind of love that people don't feel ordinarily.
Yeah, it's definitely unique.
Oh, 1,000% unique, yes.
So, another question, and you can get ready some question for the end also. That will be good. What is the difference between doing service and being service?
That's a good question. There's been a few Sunday, you know, Avyat Murali's back, I think we were all struck. Baba talked about don't just have the thought, but become the embodiment. And Baba's repeated it in different ways, that you can think a lot about things and make very good plans as you think, but that is not actually being in that stage. There's a difference between the thought and being in the stage. And the thoughts sometimes get to the doing, but not always. But often we get, of course, the other side caught up in the doing, and I do. I know I'm guilty of that. And I know there's a big difference when when I'm caught up in doing, the signal for me is that I can't stop doing. Anybody else like that? You keep doing, and you know you don't need to, but a bit more, another few emails, you know? And that's a signal that you're in the doing and you're not in the being. And when you're in the being, then you're serving with your presence rather than your words or the admin or whatever. We all have to do admin, and we all got to do, you know, we talk about the tyranny of emails, and Rachel knows that. So lots to do, but if you're being it, you can also give people happiness at the same time. And then when people say to me, oh, I didn't come to talk to you because you were too busy, then I know I've been in the doing and not in the being, you know. So people I shouldn't be giving people that feeling, so apologies to those I do. But if we're in the being, it's always our stage that is serving more than the words or the actions. We have to do the words, we have to do the actions. But if it's divorced from my stage, then, you know, it doesn't uplift people. Be beautiful words, but if it's not backed up by your stage, it's not uplifting. So creating your stage is the biggest service, and maintaining the atmosphere is the biggest service.
And what are your tips to do that?
Sometimes I think about, especially if I'm going to give a talk or something, what atmosphere do I want there to be in the room? You know, before I come, can I generate or be conscious of that atmosphere and then invoke Baba to help me? Well, it's not helping me, you know, you have to be that instrument that Baba will create that atmosphere through you. That's one thing. And the other is I've learnt more and more not to get so involved with everybody's problems. I still get involved, but not in a way that I let the same amount of emotional entanglement happen. I used to get very emotionally entangled with people, and it would drain my energy, and Daddy tried to tell me, but no, I thought I was doing the right thing, you know. But then I gradually began to understand that it wasn't really helping people. So I think that's been a big thing that has helped me to be more in the being than in the doing. I remember it was many years ago, must have been in the 80s, and we were in a retreat, and one sister was upset and wanted to leave. And I got very upset, and I ran to Daddy, so-and-so wants to leave. And of course, she would look at my state and want to put me right. And then she said to me, well, let her leave, it's okay. And I was rude actually, if I look back. I said, Daddy, don't you have any mercy? And Daddy said to me, you've got enough mercy for the two of us, but your mercy doesn't give happiness. Okay. Of course, Daddy did call that sister and made her stay, and everything was okay. But first she wanted me to be, you know, why are you bothering so much? And so this was something that I've had to learn, and it really has helped me, that I can't fight people.
Is it a long learning?
Long learning. It was a long learning. It has taken me a long time. Yes.
Yeah, I'm just thinking.
Yes.
Must be something common.
Yeah, anybody else like that?
Oh, yes.
But it is a freedom when you... And now, you know, people tell me things. Of course, there's empathy. I don't think I'm cold about things. But it's not the same... I don't know what to put it, but I'm not in it, you know? And I recognize that's their part and their difficulty at this time, which is even then makes it much more easier to say to myself, Now, what is the part I have to play? So what is it that I can do to help? But when you're entangled, you can't separate it.
Right.
So you're not really doing the best that you can for that person.
Yeah? That's true.
Yeah.
So, serving through present, does it happen through vibrations, dharana, simply being there, all combined together? So how do you personally prepare yourself for that kind of service? Something that can help us to create and sustain that kind of stage.
That kind of stage. It's about creating your stage, paying attention to keeping a good stage within. So, you know, when I feel I'm in a good stage, I feel Baba's companionship. I don't feel alone in anything. There's an easiness in myself, an alignment, so that the head, the heart, the conscience is aligned. I don't have inner conflict. And I enjoy that very much, when there isn't a state of inner conflict. And I understand what I have to do. I understand what Baba wants of me. And Baba gives me that power to do it. It happens naturally. And so presence comes from that. So if you prepare your stage, in my experience anyway, everything else flows from that. You don't have to think about your presence. It's there because your stage is of that. So I'm sure the daddies never sat and thought, what presence, you know, do I have and how can I create presence? They created their stage. And then the rest flowed on from that. And dharana has to be you have to be very honest in your dharana, so that you're not making shortcuts. The point that Aviat signals now at the moment are about unity. And the biggest thing, the thread through it all, is not to see other people's defects and to keep that, you know, compassionate vision for them. Because if somebody is negative, then they're hurting inside. So let me not. And we do judge at times. I'm guilty of that for sure. Not seeing defects and appreciating what you can about a person, really, that's what brings unity. And, you know, this is, I remember Baba saying, one of it, Murli, that transformation will happen when everybody is of one vibration at Amritvela. Didn't even say one thought, but one vibration. And then last Sunday's Murli, or was it the Sunday before, transformation of the world is the transformation of your sanskaras. And this is a very important thing to underline. I mean, not just from last Sunday's Murli, it's what Baba's been saying for a long time. We have to deeply transform our sanskaras so there are different sanskaras working in us, more divine sanskaras working in us. And then naturally your stage becomes that. And naturally you either will have that presence. Excuse me.
Yes. Bless you.
Excuse me. Yeah. Okay. And I think another thing is giving respect to others. That's important. And yesterday, I think, or the day before, Baba said, I think it's in the blessing, that if you reject someone's advice, it's like you're rejecting yourself. I thought it was so interesting. So I'm not allowing myself to be in that stage where I give respect to others. So it's like a rejection of what I could be, you know. That was very interesting. So giving regard and maintaining honor, you know, of others is very important.
Yeah. And their dignity.
The dignity.
That's a high form of respect, to keep people's dignity high.
Yes, yes. I remember there was a situation in the class once when an old brother, many years in Gyan, a little bit going towards Christianity, and then at the end of the class he started talking about Mary and Jesus and different things. It was some context of them really. And I just acknowledged, I said, yes, thank you, yes, you're right. It wasn't Gyan, but maintaining his honour was more important than answering him with X, Y, Z, why it's not Gyan. And I know the class knows Gyan anyway, so I'm not goofy. I wanted to maintain the honour of that older Brahmin, I thought. And so, and then afterwards somebody came up to me and said, I understood what you were doing. So keeping the atmosphere, you don't want an atmosphere of, especially in the class, of, you know,
conflict.
Too much conflict or give and take or of that, you know, it's important.
So you mentioned some obstacles, but what inner obstacles, more than that, can reduce the power of our presence?
I think more than anything, when we lack self-respect, that reduces the power of our presence. And when we have a commentary inside that tells us that we're not quite good enough, well, I can't do that because, or what will so-and-so think, or the comparisons which give me that indication that I'm not fully in my self-dignity. And then what presence am I sharing? It'll be very superficial or temporary. It will be something that people appreciate for a while, and then for a while they won't appreciate me because I'm not constant in my own self-respect. And I think there's a big difference between, excuse me, when you're not in that stage, and sometimes you get that stage and you feel okay, but actually it needs to be, you're in that stage, and then if you dip a little bit, you immediately see it and you make it up. You see what I mean? It's like being in the stage. I remember Dadiji saying once, I don't worry about anything, and if there's anything I need to pay attention to, Baba will give me a red signal. So much faith, and I know I do worry at times. I'm a worrier sometimes, not as much as before for sure, but lifting myself out of that is what creates that atmosphere and that presence. And there was a very nice thing Baba saying a couple of weeks ago that, you know, how do you accumulate? One is your own effort. So we're all cleaning out inside. The other was making others content. So if I'm not content with myself, if I have any inner conflict, I can't make other people content. And the third was loving relationships in service. And we really need that, no matter who, what, being loving. Having loving relationships enables service to move smoothly.
Yeah,
and, you know, when you're giving regard to others, it will be, you don't need it, but it'll be reciprocated. If you need it, then yes, it'll be reciprocated because others know you need it. But it has to come out of their heart.
Yeah. So, talking about service, when you look back at your own journey,
yeah,
has your own understanding of service changed?
Well, definitely, I think, as I've been describing. you know, at first it was like, oh, I want to do this and I want to do that, and I have the aim to give a talk here and I have the aim to go here, or, you know, and that was so external, you know. I thought I was being very beautiful and enthusiastic and everything. So those early years was a very external understanding of service, actually. And, you know, when it, and of course, when you want something, it doesn't get fulfilled. Then it doesn't feel comfortable. And I remember going to Daddy about this on a couple of occasions, and two things she said to me which stuck with me. She said, never worry, whatever is your right will always come to you. And then another time she said, you want to take this much and Baba wants to give you this much. And so, you know, when we have those limited aims in service, then we actually limit what it is that Baba can give us. And then when we let go, things come in front of us in an incredible way. Things you never expect. And so my understanding of service is totally about what is the spiritual upliftment that you're able to give? What is the deeper understanding you're able to give somebody? What is the way in which you can bring them closer to God? That's the total preoccupation of service. It's not about what you do. So for me, it's been a big, big shift in that way, and rightly so. And I think we all start off with that in that limited way, and then we shift to that. And, you know, again, what you don't expect comes to you. So many opportunities I've had that, you know, would never have dreamt of ever, you know, and it's just there, you know. And then you don't think, I'll tell you a funny story, that Baba does his work. One year there was this big event at Wembley Arena organised by another organisation, and it was for Earth Chant Day, and it was the 8th of August, and I think it must have been 1988 probably, and so we were meant to lead a chant of Om, and we had 80 BKs on the stage leading this chant. And then it was Rakhi time. So Daddy couldn't go, Sister Jenty couldn't go, Gentleman couldn't go. So number four. So I went. But actually I never feel like that. I said, it's there, it's the right instrument. Baba's put me there. And before when I went there, I was like a bugger, Baba, I was so nervous. Anyway. Then I stood on that stage with the 80 BKs behind me. I had no idea what happened. I had to do a commentary to begin. It's like, it's one of the most powerful experiences I've ever had. And it's like I disappeared and there was just a pillar of light standing there. And, you know, people saw visions, people saw angels. And, you know, we started the chant. The chant was meant to be for 8 minutes. It wouldn't stop. It went on for 13 minutes, reverberating. Wow. There was about at least 10,000 people in that place. And then Jill at that time, she had to come walk out to the front of the stage and put her hand like this to stop it. Otherwise, it just didn't stop. And as I say, people had all sorts of experiences. And then a few months later, I went somewhere for service, and it was the beginning of service at this place. And there was a lady there who's a Sai Baba teacher, and we went with her to have a meditation in the forest. And some of you heard this story, and she started talking about this Earth Chant Day, and it was so wonderful, and also, there was this wonderful meditation, and I sort of very tentatively said, yes, I was leading the meditation. And she looked at me and said, it was you? I mean, I think she was a little bit in competition with me as I come as a Raja Yoga teacher. She was, internally I laughed. I said, no, it wasn't me at all, it was Baba. But, you know, that was so classic, it was you. I said, okay, I understand. I wasn't insulted in the slightest.
Wonderful sharing. It seems that we are getting into a different phase of service. Mm-hmm. So much happening, so many requests, and we are...
Too many things to fulfill now. It's amazing.
That's right.
It's amazing. Yeah.
So we have to step into another stage, otherwise we can't cope with that.
You just have to do as you go along. You know, if you stop thinking in advance you have to plan in that sense, but if you stop thinking too much about what's ahead of you, you won't cope.
Yeah.
You're present with Baba there, and that's it.
Yeah. So, the angel. The angelic form also serves through presence in a subtle and powerful way.
Yeah.
How do you envision the end moments and the angelic form at work?
I do have the passage with me, but some of you heard me read it. Passage directly from Avyat Bhaktada, January 1979. In fact, if you want to bring my bag, I think I can find it on my phone. I may as well tell you exactly Baba's words, because it is just amazing, as Baba is. Thank you. Yes, I love sharing it because it's so, so beautiful, so direct. Oh, speak close to the microphone. Oh, you've got it as well. Okay, all right, yes, if you've got it, then save me looking.
Rachel is so efficient.
Rachel is so efficient. No, different. That's Daddy Janky. Which, she's an angel. Oh, no, I think I can't. Oh, I might be able to open it. Hold on. Yes. Okay. It's fascinating. So somebody's asked Baba...
Closer to the mic.
Oh, closer to the mic. So someone's asked Baba... This is January 1979, Baba said this. At the end, at the time of destruction, will the foreign children have a special role to play? And Bhaktada's answer, at the time of destruction, some children will reach Bharat, and some children will play the role that is described in the Bible. They will be standing on the hilltops like angels. So at the time of destruction, it is not that they will be standing on the hilltops, but their stage will be so high that other souls will have the experience that they are standing on the hill of light like angels. The role of these angels will be to give the vision to those souls, and they will then say, my Baba, and then they will merge. So there will be both kinds of service done through children at the end. Now you have to select yourself whether you have to do the service of coming to Madhuban or playing the role of angels. You will get the information of destruction beforehand. You will get an intuition through your intellectual communion, means yoga of the intellect, just phrasing. And as soon as you get the information, the last plane will be waiting for you.
Wow.
Om Shanti. So that's the answer to your question. But I've been thinking about that, you know, and sometimes practicing. I'm an angel standing on a... I don't know what decision I'll make at the end. I'll only know then. But sometimes just having that awareness, I'm an angel standing on a hill of light. I mean, it's amazing. So Baba giving us, whatever happens at the end, but Baba giving us a practice. So yes, that role will be very, very visible. And even now, people do feel an angelic presence from Baba's children. And again, and I'm remembering Brother Anthony, and he loved angels, and some of you know his book about angels. And I love that book, and I haven't read it for a long time. But he was, you know, in the book, how he was going, talking about this angel going to people at the time of war and giving solace. And I mean, I understand he was talking about himself, writing about himself, but of course he wouldn't say that. But an angel is there at a time of need to give comfort, to give solace in the most difficult of circumstances. And so I do feel that we will face, of course, as Baba's told us, came today's Murali, many Muralis, there'll be the most difficult of circumstances, but we will be there as the angels. And I always say to myself at those times, I mustn't be someone who's looking for help, but I have to play the part of having such a stage that I can give help and support. That's very, very, that's really what Baba's children have to do.
My first umbrella actually was an incredible experience. Gentiben, the day before, told me about umbrella. I didn't know. They didn't tell me during the course, probably not to scare me. Anyway, then I met Gentiben, and she said, you know, discipline including umbrella. I didn't know. So the next morning I practiced, of course, obediently. And as soon as I sat, I had a kind of a vision of an ocean of people, endless amount of people. And I was sitting in front, total silence. And it's like I was having the experience of that kind of silence that I never experienced before. And I felt that was a scene of the end. Like when we do serve, just being there and spreading silence, no words, nothing moving, just that kind of experience. And it was very strong for the first time, I can say. Very scary. I felt, like, gosh, what am I supposed to do? So very scary. Anyway, have you ever experienced that kind of silence that serves more than words? And could you share an example?
Yeah, a couple of examples. I remember being in a meeting. It was a meeting about a peace conference. And there was a kind of world war going on in the meeting. Some conflict. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, I'm not really involved in the issue, so let me just be in silence. And the other BK who was in the room also went into silence. So we just really went to Baba. And it took a little while before then people realized, how many people? 10 people maybe? And then people realized there was another presence, energy in the room. So suddenly they all stopped. And then they looked at me and said, what do you think, sister? And I don't remember what I said now. But it was like you just generated through silence an energy that was... You can't say that it was in contrast to what was going on. It was totally above what was going on. So when you create that stage, it's not... It's beyond everything. you know, we tend to think of things as polarized. You do this or you do that. But your stage is beyond, if you see what I mean. And so that was one instance. And yeah, I mean, in the class and, you know, just when you're in a stage of silence, it's like, you know, the whole room, it's like everything's in the subtle region, you know. But I think the other very powerful experience, apart from this one I just described, was that trip to Ukraine, which I think some of you saw on the live when it was happening. And it was with religious leaders, and we were in the it was a theatre program. And I'd already asked the rabbi who's directing everything, is it okay if at the end of my little, it's not really a talk, it's a little message, I have a minute of silence. He said, sure, within your time you can do what you want. And I then took them into whatever word I said, let's have silence or peace or something, took them into silence. It was very strong with Baba. And suddenly I hear this noise. And I thought, as someone, it's wartime, so I thought someone come with a gun. I wasn't scared. But the noise was the theatre seats lifting. The whole audience stood up. I was so touched. And it was well over a minute, I think, and that's a long time. I don't know how long, but over a minute. This silence. And, you know, you just knew that was everything. You know, and how people respected that silence was very, very touching. Yeah.
Before
I know I need to practice it more. You see, I have to put that corollary, because one is when you're in a service situation and you know, it's so specific. But, and Daddy used to say this to me, don't you take a little time in between and just go inside in silence and regenerate your energy?
Mm-hmm.
And I still don't do it enough.
The biggest tip.
Yeah.
Before you might have some questions, if you had to define serving through presence in one sentence, what would you say?
I haven't thought about this beforehand, even though I knew the question. Well, what comes to me? Being true to yourself, being true to Baba.
Being true to yourself, being true to Baba. Wonderful. So, do you have any question? We still have some time. And there is a mic coming with Ella. No question, everything was so clear. Oh, there is a brother.
Power of silence.
Baba saying still left the time for the quickly effort. So give me the guidance about that.
The last bit, Baba says a lot of still time for fast effort. And what was your last sentence?
So I can just guessing for the, that is the follow the Srimad exactly, but the more want to be the touching power for the more want to be the guidance about hear the guidance.
You want to hear Baba's guidance? Hearing Baba's guidance, is that what I heard? Sorry, I'm not quite clear.
Yes. So I want to be, I'm not feeling much respect about the, I can do the quick effort. So I'm really want to about the braveness about that.
Okay, so you're not feeling that you're making fast effort, and what is the way to do that? Yeah? Okay. Yeah. Because, you know, Baba will say, in the Murali still there's time for effort, but then when you look at the date the Murali was spoken, you just realize that Baba keeps extending the margin. So Baba will say it in the Sakha Murali, that was 60 years ago. Aviat Murali, it might be 10 years ago or 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So time is getting shorter and shorter. And I think more than anything, in terms of fast effort, as Baba was describing, is really... Murali yesterday, am I using everything in a worthwhile way, all my treasures? And of course, thoughts, words, actions, but the treasures, and above mentioned, the treasures of knowledge, understanding. Am I misusing it in any other way? Am I using it in a worthwhile way? Knowledge, virtues, powers. You know, when we are, you know, strong in our Brahmin life, there's a point at which we can also get deceived because our ego tells us that we're a good Brahmin or a strong Brahmin. And we want the self-respect, of course, but you can't have self-respect without humility and self-honesty. And so I mustn't get deceived by thinking that I have arrived anywhere in my effort. I'm on the journey. I have to keep going. There's more ahead of me to learn than behind me that I've learnt. And so obstacle can be, you know, subtle ego. So I have to be on guard. So if I'm using everything in a worthwhile way, and when Baba spoke of treasures a couple of weeks ago, Baba added on the treasure of elevated thoughts. So am I using, and this was meaningful for me, I thought, the treasure of elevated thoughts, do I have that treasure? And am I using it well? So I think fast effort is that, using all the treasures Baba's given me in a worthwhile and accurate way.
Om Shanti.
Om Shanti.
The question is not really a question, perhaps it's some addition or really a question that you can develop. Is what I feel that is lacking sometimes in terms of the power of presence. It's just a simple phrase like, I see you. Daddy Janki had that. I see you. You know, sometimes not even a drishti, in terms of drishti, but the thought that you, you know, someone, I see you, right? And there is a say from the Ubuntu movement, that it's so nice. It's really so nice. I am because you are.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this generates such a, good vibration in terms of the presence. That's what I want to ask. Perhaps you can say something else.
No, that's very beautiful. Very beautiful. And a word we haven't mentioned is like safety and security, because that's another aspect to have that power of presence and really acknowledge another. I need to feel very secure. So I don't need anything from you, but I have that respect, that love to acknowledge you, to see you, to appreciate you as God's child. But where we're needy, we are insecure, and then the whole thing of control comes in. So that's something we really need to leave behind, especially as instruments. Yeah, please.
Yeah, hello, Om Shanti. Thank you so much for the interview today. And I have a small question. You know, one day I visited a Baba center, but in another city in my country. Yeah. However, I a problem happened, and I felt a little bit upset because I felt that some of them are not didn't respect. Yeah, I think that I thought that some of them didn't respect me, and I felt a little bit upset.
Somebody so, disrespected you, didn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so the question is, can you help me how to overcome that situation like this?
Yeah, that feeling of being insulted, right?
Yeah. Because something happened.
I mean, Baba often connects that if there's even a little bit of ego, then you'll have a little bit of feeling insulted. So this is where I really need to stand in my dignity and separate out. I know who I am. I have the dignity of knowing myself as Baba's child. And nobody can take that away from me. And so when I get a little bit upset, I'm giving something away. I'm giving some power to the other person over me, right? So think to yourself, why should I do that? Why should I let anybody else dictate to me how I feel or how I think? Right? My feelings and my thoughts are with me, not with you or you or you or whoever. So if somebody insults you, just stay very steady, just stay very stable. Don't react, just be calm. Stay in your dignity, and it'll pass by, and the other person will get a signal. Has that helped? Okay, thank you. I think someone there has a question.
Om Shanti.
Om Shanti.
Just to like to ask you about the difference between going beyond and denial or escape. Denial. Or escape.
Or escape.
Yeah.
That's a very good question. Going beyond or denial or escape. it's very easy to get into self-denial because something's uncomfortable. We want to bury it. If I find myself saying to myself, it's okay, it doesn't matter, then that's a signal that I can be getting into self-denial. And so if there's something that, you know, we have to be very honest to catch even subtle feelings inside of a little bit of discomfort and not bypass them, because these are the feelings that are telling me there's something to change, there's still some work to do. And when I say, oh, it's okay, and Daddy used to say, you know, if you ask somebody, how are you? And they say, I'm okay. What was it phrase? I'm okay, or something like that. Then it means they're not okay. So we tell ourselves this. But let us be, you know, it's that self-honesty that can help us to move out of self-denial. But sometimes we can't see something in ourselves. You know, we just can't see it. And we've all had moments like that. And you've had a realization, you thought, oh my goodness, I just didn't see it. And usually that happens when somebody tells you right to your face what they think about you. Very, very uncomfortable. But that's the moment of the greatest learning. I remember it was a discussion group, and these were with non-BKs, but spiritual people. And it was just as a warm-up question, I asked the question, what is the greatest gift you've ever received? And one woman said, the greatest gift I've ever received is when somebody humiliated me in front of everyone I wanted to impress.
Wow.
Oh my goodness. And she said, but that really made me know myself. that what am I doing? Having, you know, that is that my identity? Or do I have my... You know, there are all these things that, you know, these shift for all of us. And we, you know, we go so far, then there's something else, then there's something else. So also an attitude always of learning helps to prevent us from doing that. Yeah.
So are there more questions, or I should go ahead?
Okay. Need the roving mic on? It's not on. Roving mic is not on. Is it on the thing?
Do you want to take this one?
It's coming to sort. It's a switch. This is another thing to say, you know, in service. Try to be helpful to people, you know. If you can help someone, help them, you know. Don't sort of, don't ignore anybody, you know. If somebody has a need, then try to help, you know. I always feel, let me help. It's important.
Om Shanti.
Hi.
Om Shanti. Baba says that we have to burn our sins by remembering Baba of our past two cycles. But when we remember Baba, sometimes it can be illusionary. Baba
illusionary?
Says, yeah, because he says that we have to be in proper soul conscious stage to burn. So how can we realize that our sins are actually burning? Because, again, it can be things it's burning, but might be we might have not been in the right state of meditation. So to realize that, some tips are like
that. Okay, that's a good question. Because there are two things. Sometimes our yoga can be emotional, you know. Oh, I had a wonderful time with Baba. Oh, this, you know. And you feel the need to talk about it, and you know. and that can be an emotional state rather than really yoga, and can be a little bit of imagination that you're pretending to yourself. And sometimes as well, we can think about having yoga, but not actually have yoga. So yes, now, Baba, I'm here, I'm going to have a very good stage, I'm going to become the point. Well, just do it. So those two things can happen where I separate myself, probably more things, I'm sure, but I separate myself from the actual experience. And so we all know Gyan, we all understand Gyan. And so when there are two things, of course, when we are sitting in yoga specifically, then let me, see, yoga I always feel is more about feelings than about thoughts, because it's about what you feel inside. And so open yourself to feeling Baba's love, for example. So open yourself to those deep feelings, because yoga is a very deep, silent, incognito thing. It's not something you need to shout about, but it's so personal, so incognito, so sweet inside, and it makes you feel very good, and it makes you feel good towards others. And good yoga melts away barriers that you may feel. So one is what you feel inside, the other is the impact that you see it's having in terms of your relationships, and especially our relationships in the family. But to open ourselves to the treasures that Baba is just waiting to give us. And so be there in Baba's presence, open your heart to Baba. We don't need to open our hearts to others, but to Baba for sure. And then let those beautiful feelings come to you. And don't think too much about it.
And Madhuban is the best place to
and
do that.
And Madhuban is the best place, a very good place to do that, definitely. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, sister. My name is Rafat from Iran.
Okay. Hello. Hi.
I am very, very lucky. Very lucky. How thanks from Baba?
Lazy. She said lazy.
How can I thank Baba?
You're very lucky?
To be
yes.
here.
Yeah, to be here, yes.
Here and my country, I am very lucky.
Yes, yes. Okay, we must talk afterwards also, right? We all have very good feelings. I've been in touch with some of Baba's children there, and we have a lot of good feelings and good wishes for the people there. There's a lot of suffering, I know.
Thank you.
And so you're lucky Baba's brought you here so that you can fill yourself with power to serve, because the country is in need. Okay, thank you. And sister with you is also from Iran?
Yes, I'm from Iran. I live in Peace Village.
Oh, okay, all right. I know who you are, okay. So maybe we'll connect later.
I thought she'd need translation, but she
didn't. And her heart spoke, your heart spoke. Okay. Okay, so you're Satya, right? Yeah, we'll meet.
So are there any questions? Or should I go ahead with another one? We have only a few minutes left.
Yes, yes.
The topic is huge. And sometimes Baba says to bring the subtle region down. And it's a question that lately somebody asked. So can you share about that?
Well, I think it's more excuse me. It's more about you being in that stage, angelic stage, and creating the atmosphere of the subtle region around you. Because it's a stage, it's an atmosphere. And it also reminds me of once when it was an 18th January event in Global Corporation House. And for some reason, Daddy had finished her talk and she was, like you described, going around up the steps of the auditorium. And people were in tears. It was very powerful. And actually, I didn't quite know what was happening because I was sitting in the reception for some reason. Can't remember why. Maybe to meet someone or something. But it was like, when that was going on, I heard afterwards that was what she was doing. We were sitting there, but we felt like we were in the subtle region. The whole place had a completely, we were not on a physical plane in a physical place. So Daddy had that ability. She really brought the subtle region through her angelic stage. It's amazing, that experience. So yeah, it's being in that angelic stage that can do it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably what we are meant to experience more and more.
Definitely.
In that kind of vibration.
And the world is in so much need. So much need, so much suffering in the different war zones, but just people's stories you hear of what they're going through in their life. It's incredible how much service we need to do, Baba needs to do through us.
Yeah. So I think it's the end of the session. We have a few minutes meditation, which we will invoke Baba and be in the stage of Sattva region.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Marindan. Thank you. Om Shanti.